24. O sancta simplicitas, blessed simplicity. Human beings live in such a peculiarly simple and counterfeit way. Once a man develops eyes to see this wonder, he can't check his amazement. How bright and free and light and simple we have made everything around us. How we have learned to give our senses free license for everything superficial, our thinking a divine craving for wanton leaps and erroneous conclusions. How we have learned ways, right from the start, to maintain our ignorance in order to enjoy a hardly conceivable freedom, safety, carelessness, heartiness, and merriment in life, in order to enjoy life. And only on this now firm granite foundation of ignorance could scientific knowledge up to now rise up. The will to know on the foundation of a much more powerful will, the will not to know, to uncertainty, to what is not true. Not as its opposite, but as its refinement. For if language, here as elsewhere, does not cast off its clumsiness and continues to speak about opposites, where there are only degrees and many subtleties of gradation, and similarly, if inveterate tartuffery, hypocrisy, immorality, which nowadays belongs to our invincible flesh and blood, turns the words even of us knowledgeable people around in our mouths, here and there we understand that and laugh about how it's precisely the best scientific knowledge that most wants to hold us in this simplified, completely artificial, appropriately created and appropriately falsified world, how it loves error, voluntarily and involuntarily, because, as something alive, it loves life. 25. After such a cheerful start, I'd like you not to miss hearing a serious word. It's directed at the most serious people. Be careful, you philosophers and friends of knowledge. Protect yourself from martyrdom, from suffering for the sake of truth, even from defending yourselves. That corrupts all the innocence and refined neutrality in your consciences. It makes you stubborn against objections and red rags. It dulls your minds, brutalizes you, and puts you in a daze when, in the struggle with danger, malice, suspicion, expulsion, and even dirtier consequences of your hostility, you finally have to play out your role as the defenders of truth on earth, as though the truth were such a harmless and clumsy character as to require defenders. And as for you, you knights with the sorrowful countenances, my good gentlemen, you spiritual loafers and cobweb spinners, ultimately, you yourselves know well enough that it really doesn't matter if you are the ones who are right. You also know that up to now no philosopher has been right, and that a more praiseworthy truthfulness could lie in every small question mark which you set after your favourite words and cherished doctrines, and occasionally after yourselves, than in all the ceremonial gestures and trump cards before prosecutors and courts of justice. Better to stand aside, run off to some secluded place, and retain your mask and your subtlety, so that people confuse you with someone else, or fear you a little. And for my sake, don't forget the garden with the golden trellis, and have people around you who are like a garden, or like music over water in the evening when the day is already becoming a memory. Choose good solitude, the free, high-spirited, easy solitude, which gives you also a right to remain in some sense or other still good yourselves. How poisonous, how crafty, how bad every long war makes us when it does not let us fight with open force. How personal a long fear makes us, a long attention on our enemies, on potential enemies. These social outcasts, these men long persecuted and wickedly hunted down, as well as the compulsory recluses, the Spinozas or Giordano Brunos, always finally become, maybe under a spiritual masquerade and perhaps without realizing it themselves, sophisticated avengers and makers of poisons. Just dig into the foundation of Spinoza's ethics and theology, to say nothing of the foolishness of moral indignation, which, in a philosopher, is the unmistakable sign that his philosophical humour has run away from him. The martyrdom of a philosopher, his sacrifice for the truth, brings forcefully to light how much of the agitator and actor he contains within himself. And if people have looked at him with only an artistic curiosity up to this point, then, in the case of several philosophers, we can naturally understand the dangerous wish to see him also in his degeneration. degenerated into a martyr, into a brawler on the stage and in tribunals. But with such a wish, people must be clear about what they are going to see in every case. Only a satyr play, only a farcical epilogue, only continuing proof that the long, real tragedy is over, assuming that every philosophy in its origin was a long tragedy.